Well, hey, good morning. Glad that you guys are here. If we haven't met, my name is Jacob Alger. I get the privilege of serving on our weight team as our men's coordinator, kind of helping organize small groups and all that stuff. So if we haven't met, man, I would love to meet you. And we are really excited that you're here. We're continuing our series this weekend called Free Speech, where we are talking about one of the greatest freedoms that we have in America, which is the freedom of our speech. But we're talking more specifically about how we, as followers of Christ, are called to use our freedom, not for personal gain, not however we want to use it, but how God has called us to use our words. And so last week, if you were here, Ryan talked about how we're called to use our words to heal and not to wound. And then specifically today, we're going to talk about how we are called by God in His words, in His word, to use our words to build others up and not to tear them down. And so as a reminder, the reason that we're doing this series is because Proverbs 18:21 reminds us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words matter. Your words matter. And so that's why we're doing this series. I'm really excited for what God's got for us this morning. Let me pray, and then we will dive in. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for an opportunity, Father, to open your word. Lord, to learn, Father, how you would have us to use our words that you have given us, the ability to speak that you've not given to any other part of your creation. Words matter. And so, Father, I pray that we'd be thoughtful. I pray that you would help us align ourselves and the way we speak with the truth of your word. So, Lord, would you use this time to do what only you can do? We love you and we trust you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, some of my favorite memories growing up was every spring break. Every week of that year, my family would have the incredible privilege of going on a mission trip or short-term discipleship trip, if you're familiar with Watermark terms. And we would go down to the border of Texas and Mexico, and we'd go to this community called Progreso. And what was really fun is that my family went every year for 13 years. Before I was even y'all's age, we were going on this trip. And so we went back every single year. We got to form some really deep relationships with people in this community. But one of the fun things that we got to do year in and year out was we got to literally, in a week, build a house for a family. It was pretty amazing. So we show up to our work site on a Sunday morning, and this is what it looks like, okay? So there is literally nothing. As you can see, there's kind of like a trailer house next to it, but that open ground right there is where we're going to build this new house. So we show up, and it's dirt, okay? And then by the end of the first day, you can see some progress that we're making. We're building a foundation. You can see the next picture that shows the completed foundation. And so now we have set the very basis on which the rest of the house is going to build. And so here's what was really fun, is that every day we would kind of take progress pictures as far as like how much we had gotten done or accomplished in this week and this in the span of a day. And so the next day, here's a picture of where we got. So now walls are starting to go up. You can show the next picture. Now the walls and then the roofing is or the trusses, is what you call them, are going up. And then you can see the outside starting to come together in this next picture. So now the house is wrapped, the roof is going on, and then I think in this final picture, you'll see what it looked like at the end of the week. And so in 1 week, I mean 7 days, we had entirely built this house, starting from dirt. Okay, and so you see the foundation, and then you see the walls starting to go up, and then you see the roof starting to go up, and then you wrap the house in the stuff that protects it, insulates it, you put the windows on, you put the sides on, you put all of this stuff together, the sheetrock, the plumbing, the electricity, all of it, until you have this final completed house, right? And I love watching the building process happen. It's really cool to see the way that it all comes together. And the reason I start there this morning is because we're called in Scripture to use our words in such a way that would be similar to the process of this house. We're called to use our words to build one another up. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You see, our words are intended to be used this in the same way, much like the progress of this picture. Our words are a part of helping one another build each other up into the people that God had originally intended for us to be, right? Whenever we start that house, all we have is a blueprint, right? All we have is kind of a piece of paper that tells us what it's supposed to look like. And then throughout the week, you see all of those different parts being built up together. And in God's word, we are told that our words are to be used in much of the same way, to build one another up into the people who God has called us to be, right? And so one of the primary ways that we do that is through encouragement, right? Encouragement is one of the primary ways that we build one another up. And here's the reality I know for a lot of us, if not all of us in here this morning, is that for some of you, you know well the power of encouragement in your life. Like somebody has encouraged you, has spoken into your life, and you have felt built up and edified by it. And others of you, you have felt the tremendous weight of how people have chosen to use their words towards you to tear you down. And you've had to wrestle with the insecurity and the fear and the guilt or the shame and the hurt and pain that can come from words. And so words and how we use them, either to build each other up or to tear each other down, is incredibly important. And so this morning I want to talk about three things as it relates to encouragement and how we're called to build one another up. So we're going to talk about the purpose of encouragement. We're going to talk about the power of encouragement. And thirdly, we're going to talk about the possibility of encouragement and what this place could be like if we took God at his word. And so we're going to start talking about the purpose of encouragement. And to do that, some of you, if you're pretty observant, you might have noticed that I have two balloons up here. Okay? They, whoop, just dropped them. No, you didn't see anything. All right? Here's the thing. These balloons look the exact same, right? Anybody disagree with that? They look the exact same, right? Well, one of these balloons is going to rise. One of them is going to fall, right? Which one of these do you think is going to rise and which one do you think is going to fall? I see a hand back there. What do you think? Right or left? Right? If you think right, raise your hand. Okay, great. If you think left, raise your hand. A little bit more on the right side, all right? You got to watch the strings, man. That's tough. I'm out here just fumbling this like Tony Romo on the goal line. Sorry guys. Hey, sorry. That was tough. I got some claps from it though. Okay. Yeah, get that string out of here. All right. If you think it's going to rise or fall, I'm about to let it go. Let's count it down. 3, 2, 1. There you go. If you said on the right side, you were right, right? Why does that balloon rise and why does the other one fall? Anybody know? What? Say it. Helium, right? What makes the difference between whether this one sinks or whether that one rises is what they're made of, right? What has filled that balloon, right? If helium has filled that balloon, it will rise. If the breath of my lungs has filled the other one, it will fall, right? And so the substance of what fills that balloon matters. And the reason I say that is because in the same way, the substance of your words matters. And what I mean by that is the purpose of your words, how you use them matters, what they're filled with. Are they filled with empty words and just telling people, kind of blowing smoke, telling them stuff that ultimately doesn't matter, or are they actually meaningful? And here's what I'll tell you. The purpose of encouragement is to make much of God before men, not much of men before God. And what I mean by that is this. Encouragement, by definition, means this: to give support, confidence, and hope. And what I want to talk about this morning is how true encouragement is what helps people to place their confidence and hope in God and not in themselves. True encouragement is what helps people to place their hope and their confidence in God and not in themselves. Because here's what I know is true, right? The goal of encouragement is not simply to make other people feel good. But if I were to ask you right now to turn to the person next to you and encourage them, what do you think you would say? Here's a couple things I think you would say. I think you would say, hey, your hair looks great today. Or, hey, I really like your shoes. Or, man, you look good. Or whatever it might be. I think those are some of the things that we naturally would say or think about whenever we think of encouragement. But what I want us to consider this morning is that all of those things are okay. It's not bad to tell somebody, hey, I like your shoes, or I like your shirt, or I like your hair. But what I want to encourage you to consider is that those things, I think, lack any true substance. I think if you left your words at that, that would sink and wouldn't rise, right? And so what I want to help us to think about is I think you can encourage people, quote unquote, into idolatry and further from God. I think the way you use your words and how you, quote unquote, encourage people might actually distance them from the Lord rather than drawing them to Him. Here, take these two examples to consider, right? Let's say that the only thing I ever went up to somebody and said, if they were really good at sports, and I was like, hey, you are really good at basketball, dude. You're really good at basketball. And that's all they ever heard. And so then that's all they ever heard. And then they just pour their life, they pour their hope, they pour their confidence into how good they are at the game of basketball, because that's all everybody ever affirms in them. Okay? And then they get really good, they get better and better and better, and it's really only ever about them. And then all of a sudden they get hurt and they can't play basketball anymore. Then what are they left with? Right? Nothing, because they have placed their hope, they've placed their confidence, and they've placed their identity not in the Lord, but in themselves. In the same way, if you were to tell somebody, and all you were ever to tell them is, hey, you look beautiful. Again, not a bad thing to say, but the danger of that is that if that's all anybody ever hears, then they might take that and say, hey, I'm just going to pour my identity, my hope, my confidence into my external appearance. How I look, what I wear, what kind of makeup I'm wearing, all those kinds of things. And then in the end, that leaves them hopeless because they've not placed their confidence or hope in God, but in themselves. You see where I'm going with this? Is that sometimes the way that we encourage people, it's filled in such a way that would sink rather than truly rise. And so what I want to propose this morning is a better way of encouragement, one that actually lifts people up, one that actually builds people up, then maybe direct or indirectly tears them down or places their hope and confidence in a place that's not intended for it to be. And so what if you said this instead? What if you saw somebody who was really kind to others and you said this, man, you are really kind. And whenever I see you engage people in the way that you do, it makes me love God more and see the way that He's working through your life. What if you said, man, you're really beautiful. And I want you to know, it's not because of what you wear or the way that you do your hair, but I see the security in your life because you know that you're a child of God. And I watch the way that that impacts how you portray yourself to others. And it's beautiful. Or what if you said, man, you are really good at sports. And I think God has uniquely gifted you in such a way that you can use that as a way to bring honor to Him and not for yourself. Right? Do you see the difference between those? One of them stops at the individual. The other one presses on and points them back to God. And that's because I want us to consider that true encouragement, the purpose of encouragement, is to make much of God before men, not much of men before God. And what I mean by that is that your true encouragement are words that help one another place our hope and our confidence, not in ourselves, but in God. Right? And so that is the purpose of encouragement, that we would build one another up in helping each other rightly place our hope and confidence in the Lord. The next thing I want to talk about is the power of encouragement. What I mean by this is that encouraging words have tremendous amount of power in each of our lives. They can completely change the trajectory of our life. I want to read that verse again in Ephesians 4:29. To let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so I want you to consider this. Your words of encouragement. Listen to this. Your words of encouragement can be a part of building somebody else up into the person that God wants them to be. Think about that. That is incredibly powerful. And I think if you thought about that more, it would change the way that you use your words. I want to tell you a story about one of my friends named Matt. Matt, I met a few months ago, and it was just after a season in Matt's life that he was really, really far from the Lord. And he would tell you that. He was experiencing a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in his own life, and he was causing a lot of hurt and a lot of pain to the lives of other people. And one day, Matt was driving on the highway and blew out one of his tires, and so he was stuck on the side of the road. He didn't have a spare, and he needed help. And so he's sitting there stranded, and all of a sudden, this truck pulls off onto the side of the road, a really beat-up pickup truck. And this man in some overalls, a country man, older guy, steps out, and he's like, "Hey, can I help you?" And all that Matt does is curse this man out. All he does is curse this man out. And tells him, "No, I don't want your help. You can leave." And he says a lot more harsh and hurtful words than that to this man. But he's like, "No, seriously, let me help you." And so this man, even as Matt was cursing him out, chose rather than to leave or to revile him in return, chose to get down on his hands and knees and say, "No, I'm going to change your tire for you." And as he's changing this man's tire, he shares with him the hope of Christ and how God had changed his life. And he talked about how God could do the same in Matt's life. If he would just turn his life over to the Lord, he could find healing, he could find hope, and he could find freedom. And so this man changes his tire, puts a new one on, and leaves. And I just told him that. And Matt would tell you that was the day in his life that this random stranger would forever change the trajectory of where he was headed because of how he chose to use his words. Even as Matt cursed him and swore him out, this man chose, rather than to meet him in his cursing, to bless him instead. And the words of encouragement he gave to Matt that day completely changed his life. But here's what I want you to think about. What if that man on the side of the road had pulled over and Matt is swearing him out, and all he had ever told him that day was, "Dude, I love your shoes. Man, those Nikes are sweet. Or, man, your car is awesome. Even though it's broken down, it's awesome, you know? Or your hair looks really, really good." Think about that. Like, where do you think Matt's life would be? I mean, do you think that those words would have changed the trajectory of his life? I don't think so. I think Matt might be right where he was that day. But instead, he chose to speak words that actually built him up. And you watch the power of what happened because of it. It radically changed his life. And your words are powerful when you point people back to God. And here's why that's true. I want you to consider this. Is when God created the heavens and the earth and everything, he spoke. God himself used words. And out of all of his creation, think about this. Out of all that he created, the only creatures that he gave the ability to use words were what? Us, humans. Nothing else, right? I mean, birds, animals, it's not like they're speaking like we do. He's given us the ability to think, to formulate words. And so our words are incredibly powerful. And I'm not saying that we have the same power that God did with his words. Like some of you are like, "All right, Lord, let there be airhead extremes." And it was so. Right? It's not like that. But your words do have tremendous ability to change and alter somebody's life. And so out of all the creatures that he gave words, he gave them to you and I. And so the way that we use them is incredibly important. We get to be a part of building his creation up into what it was meant to be in the first place. That's amazing. But here's what's really powerful about encouragement. Is that whenever you encourage other people, it also builds you up. As you are building others up, it builds you up. Proverbs 11:25 says this, "The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." The real power of encouragement is that you are giving, and when you are giving, it's truly a win-win. Like there is truly not a loss whenever you're giving encouragement. They live encouraged and built up, and you leave encouraged and built up. And the reason for that is in Acts 20:35. It says this, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. A lot of us, as you hear about encouragement, the first thing we jump to is, man, I wish people would encourage me, right? And the difference is that encouragement is not self-focused. Encouragement is others-focused. And the power of it is that as you get the focus off of yourself and onto others and encourage others and build them up, you, in fact, are built up as well. It's crazy, but it's how it works. And you're giving encouragement, man. The focus is off of you. And it's so powerful because it leads to mutual upbuilding. Both of you leave knowing and loving God more whenever the focus is not on you, but it's on others, and you intentionally build them up into who God had created for them to be. And then lastly, the third thing we want to talk about is the possibility of encouragement. Where if we actually used our words, if we actually thought about the purpose of our words and our encouragement and the power of it, what would that lead to? What possibility awaits us? My birthday is coming up in a few days. Shower me with praise and all the things I've ever done for you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just kidding. It's actually super awkward when people sing happy birthday to you. But here's the thing that is so funny about birthdays. I feel like this happens every year. But it is like people come out of the woodworks to encourage you. I mean, like people that you don't talk to the entire rest of the year, like people that you may not even know are like seeking you out to encourage you simply because they're celebrating another year of your life. That's great. One thing that I learned early on in my marriage is that birthdays are a huge deal to my wife. Okay. And so this past year was her 22nd birthday. And so something that I did for her was I reached out to 22 of the closest people in her life. And I just said, hey, will you send me a couple sentences or paragraph on just things that you see in Brooke and ways that you would want to intentionally encourage her or affirm her and who she is in the Lord. And so 22 people sent me these paragraphs. And then on her birthday, I intentionally read each one of those to her. And you can imagine, like, if you had 22 of your closest people in your life speaking into and affirming the things that they see God doing in your life, how that may encourage or build you up, right? And so I started thinking about this. I'm like, why do we only do that kind of stuff most of the time on somebody's birthday, right? Like, what if we did that every day? What if we were that thoughtful and that intentional about how we used our words? Like, what if you were that thoughtful about every conversation that you had? That you wanted to encourage somebody that they would leave feeling built up and more reminded of who God desired for them to be. And the truth is that if we did that every day, one, we're commanded to do it in Hebrews 3:13. It says this, but encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so what if every one of us actually lived this out? Every single day, you, whenever you were with your friends, or whenever you were in the hallways, or whenever you were in class, or whenever you were at school, whatever it might be, what if you were that thoughtful about how you encourage others around you? I think it would change your relationships, but here's what's also true about encouragement. Notice the last half of that verse. It says that the purpose of our encouragement, the result of it, is that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Again, the way that we encourage one another and remind each other of who God wants us to be keeps our hearts soft before the Lord. It helps us to walk with Jesus. And we need that every single day, because without it, our hearts are prone to be hard, be given over to anger, malice, and envy, and all things that the Lord doesn't desire for us. But our words are powerful. And so I want you to think about, man, this place, your small group, your family, what it would be like if you did this, if you were that intentional and thoughtful with your encouragement. If you left every encounter feeling valued and cared for and reminded of your significance before God, what your life would be like and what the lives of others around you would be like, I think it would look something like this. I think a couple things would be true. I think everyone would be so others-focused that we wouldn't be controlled by our own insecurities. I think if we thought about how we can encourage others rather than how other people would encourage us, we wouldn't be controlled by our own insecurities. Where you're always wondering, man, I wonder what they're thinking about me. I wonder what they think about what I wear. I wonder what they think about that joke that I just made. Guys, we're all so prone to be controlled by our insecurities. And I think if we were thoughtful about the way that we encourage others, we wouldn't be, because our focus would not be on ourselves. The next thing, I think everyone would feel seen. I think everyone would feel cared for. And I think everyone would feel genuinely loved by others and by God. Imagine that. That this would be a place, your family, your home, your team would be known by that. Everybody feels welcome. Everybody feels loved. Everybody feels valued because of the significance that they have to God. I think that newcomers would be shocked. I think if this was your first time here and you stepped off those elevators and you met people that intentionally encouraged you and affirmed you and reminded you of the person that God had created you to be, I think that it would be really hard to leave. I think that you would be like, oh my gosh, I've never seen something like this. I've never seen that. And I think that it would bring people together rather than dividing them apart, which we're seeing all throughout our country right now, is more division than unity. And I think encouragement and the way we use our words specifically as God's people would bring more unity than there would be division. And it would be hard for people to leave an environment like that. Everybody loves the encourager in the room. And I'm just imagining you. I want you to think about if that were you, if you were the encourager, that everybody left feeling loved and built up and cared for and seen by God because of you, because they met you, had a conversation with you. I think your life and your relationships would change. But here's the thing. This is what the body of Christ is meant to be. This is what God has always intended for his people to be marked by. People who use their words not to tear one another down, but to build them up. Not just to tell them, hey, I like your hair, I like your shirt, but to give them encouragement that really has substance, that really matters, that pushes their hope and their confidence, not in themselves, but in the Lord who created them and who loves them and who's for them. So that it would have power potentially to change their entire life as they meet with God, as they're reminded of who he is through you. And then I want us to just think about the possibility of what could change if that were true of every one of us. Every one of us. And it takes all of us. But I hope that's true for our lobby here. I hope that's true everywhere that you are, is that you would be a part of building other people up into who God made them to be. And so I want us to close. I want you to think about that house that I talked about at the beginning, right? That was a finished house. I mean, they could move into it and live in it. And if we, let's say that we were like that house, okay? Every one of us right now here on earth is in the construction process, right? Our house will not be complete until the day that we're home with the Lord. But right now, your words and the way that you speak to others is a part of constructing them into the people that will one day stand before God. I want you to think about that. Your words right now are a part of building somebody up, somebody who will stand before God one day and hopefully looks more like him, speaks more like him, knows him more. And every one of us walks out of here this morning with an opportunity to use your words in a way that matter, to be a part of constructing one another into the people that God intends for us to be. So I'll leave you with a question. How are you going to use your words? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for an opportunity to be together. Lord, it's so fun to get to be together in this room, to sing, to worship, to laugh, to have fun, or to play out in the lobby and all the things, just to enjoy time together. Thank you for the body of Christ. And Lord, that we are intended to be a place where people feel known and loved and cared for and seen by us and by you, so that we would be built up into the people that you intend for us to be. Lord, I pray that we would be thoughtful with the ways that we use our words, that we wouldn't tear other people down, but that we would build one another up into people that you intend for us to be, so that one day we'll stand before you, knowing you more, looking more like you, because of the way that we together helped one another to become the people that you desire for us to be. Lord, I pray it would be true here. I pray it would be true in our students' lives and their families and their schools. And I pray the world would change because of the way that we are thoughtful about how we use the words that you have given us to speak. Lord, we love you and we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.